And welcome to the latest 8-4 Play podcast. I am your host, Mark Kamejesus McDonald, and this is the first, only, greatest, best, last, definitive, post-apocalyptic,
longest, shortest, tallest.
Yes, podcast about Japan and games and Japanese games. With me this week, we are one woman down, but
yes,
we are a foursome, a awesome a foursome. Not five, some
Mansome.
To my right, JJ DeLiance Epperson.
Oh, because they, okay, there was
you
a word.
Just jump right to the like because
there was a word I saw somewhere that was
dalliance.
It looked dalliance, yes, and it looked like D alliances, and I thought it was a typo.
You're like D alliance.
I was like duh alliances.
Dalliances. What is that a word?
There's not a word duh alliances.
For the record, I didn't even know dalliances or whatever was a word either. So
did this have
no excuse, JJ.
Anything to do with Project X? Was this where you?
Yes, it was.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What could it be?
Secret.
Not necessarily.
It could have been Project
in the
y
game,
or Project
but
Z too. Yeah. We've got those going
That's
on
true.
Right now, and they have big words.
That's
too,
true, but this was Project X, right? Project Z, though, I have to say, I saw some Project Z this week. Holy shit!
That's gonna be a good one, huh?
Yes. Like people who are, yeah.
People who are into fans of games with alphabetized code names, wait for it.
Yes.
That, yes. To just take the annoying thing about I have playing a game that's, you can't, I can't say what it is.
Right.
One step further, can't even say what the game is. Yeah, nobody can even imagine what the game is, but.
There's this game.
This game
is awesome.
Exists. Made in Japan, let me put it that way.
Okay.
And, yeah, it looks amazing. So, anyway.
I don't even know when that game became Z, but I guess that one's Z now.
Just right now.
We started with X. By the way, a lot of people have been asking, is it Tales of Exilia?
Right, yeah.
We can confirm now, I think, finally, that we worked on that because Namco did.
Yeah, they told us. They sent
you.
They called us out.
Yeah. But that is not Project X.
Yeah.
That was Project, like, I don't know, P, Q, something like that.
And one thing I would just add is that Project X, we use code names right up until a game is released.
Right.
So it's not necessarily that it hasn't been announced. It's not even necessarily that it hasn't been announced for the States or for the West or even shown.
Right.
It's not necessarily that it has either, but but yeah, anyway, so yeah, yeah. Sure, keep guessing if you like.
For the one person who mailed us desperately hoping that Project X was Tales of Xillia, it's actually win-win for you because we did do Xillia and we have something else for you.
Batten down the hatches.
Yes,
right.
Jizzing in his pants wherever he is, no doubt, as we speak.
Nice.
Not jizzing in his pants, but here to talk on the podcast is Mr. Brendan.
Woo! Oh, yeah!
Pritchard.
What?
I'm glad you rehearsed that.
Yeah, thank you.
This took place
I have to
in
explain
a Peruvian restaurant,
yes.
I believe.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I accept that nickname.
You got excited when Obama got elected.
Yes, because we were all basically sitting, we were in a Peruvian restaurant, four of us, all just staring at our phones.
Yeah.
Looking at the results on our respective news websites.
I was following the NeoGAF thread, which was great.
Because that happened
he
around...
gets all his news from NeoGAF,
yes.
Even political news.
It's the best place to get political news.
TM.
All of a sudden, the little check appeared by Obama's name, and I just let out a yelp, if you will.
Is that really what it sounded like?
In a public, yes. In
yes.
a public
Whoa.
Place.
Did
I was like,
look?
Brendan.
Did you give any kind of explanation to the assembled people about why it was just like went back to your...
And there were like Europeans in another table close by.
How
and
could
everybody,
you tell they were Europeans?
Because they weren't speaking English and they were white.
They jumped away.
Right. Yeah.
But fortunately, the manager, I guess, of that restaurant is loud enough that I don't think that many people noticed. So
yeah.
Hope you noticed.
JJ noticed.
I noticed.
And finally,
JJ crawled under his. Yeah. Oh my god!
Yeah, Ryan, rounding out the cast, John Choco Banana Ricciardi. I was trying to think of some like cartoon character, breakfast cereal cartoon character that would like be obsessed with Choco Banana.
It's there's always money in the banana stand, Ricciardi.
There you go.
That's that would have been a good one.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
The Choco Banana Stand.
Right.
Right. There's nothing interesting to the story.
You're right.
I just went and bought a sandwich.
Except
and,
that, yes.
The lady at the sandwich shop gave me a chocolate banana sandwich to sample. which we took back to the office and sampled. And
you were insisting everyone else eat, right. even yeah. though, yeah.
I did.
Like, I have no problem with chocolate and banana. I think it's a great combination. It doesn't need to be on bread.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that combination before myself. Oh, yeah. So it was good.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
It was good bananas. As a sandwich.
It wasn't bad. Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you weren't like, well, maybe I'll just throw away the bread. There's no reason for bread to
I kind of agree there's no reason for the bread, but it wasn't, I didn't feel like it still tasted good. It wasn't like, oh, this tastes weird or anything. Hiroko, who can't be with us today, sampled it too, and she had the same opinion. Brendan sampled it as well. Brendan wasn't so fond.
I'm not a fan of the combination chocolate and banana. Yeah. I like them separately, but when you put them together. But then again, when I ate the sandwich, it didn't offend me.
It was pleasant.
It was okay.
Speaking of another interesting combination, Animal Crossing, New Leaf. Does that still taste good?
It does. What is that combined with?
It tastes better than ever.
That's the new Nintendo system with the old hotness. I don't know. Whatever. Start talking about it.
It's out. We got it 2 days early.
Yes.
Doubled 3DS hardware sales. Pretty
though,
much.
Yes. It's funny. Like, we say, oh, we got it 2 days early. But, like, how much have we been in that time?
We barely played it at all.
We barely had any time
to play. That's the thing about Animal Crossing is, like, if you are busy working on Project X, then you happen to be going home at around midnight every night. There's nothing to do because, I mean, not there's nothing to do, but you can't do any of the fun stuff because the shops are closed. You know, most people are asleep. You can't sell stuff if you go fishing and everything until the next day. So your, like, inventory is kind of limited to how much you want to collect.
And you guys are both not going to mess with the system clock. You're just
that's for losers.
As the mayor of the city, now you can set your city to be like an early morning city or a late night
city. I can't do that yet. Can you?
I can.
Ooh, a late night city.
Yes.
Ooh. You can turn your city into like a Las Vegas style
almost
whorehouse.
Yeah, the director of the game, who happens to be a friend of ours too, is she said that in Famitsu, she actually wanted to do that because she also was always coming home late from work. And basically it was like at night you couldn't do stuff. So that's why they
Which is a welcome addition, but I haven't tried it because I have been finding time since the first couple of days to do stuff. Like, I can do things on the train, and then when I get home before dinner.
Well, don't you have your wife also working for you?
I also have my wife doing things for me.
And both you guys are always taking your 3DSs out at lunch and just doing something really quick, and then but still participating in conversation.
It just so happens that like our working hours completely coincide with the working hours of Animal Crossing.
What a horrible design that is then. I mean, so do a lot of people's working hours. Working hours aren't that crazy.
Well, I have to say, one of the cool... Did you ever play Animal Crossing before?
Seriously. I played like the GameCube a bit.
Okay. That was the last one I played. I played the hell out of that. I played it for like a year straight. But I mean, that was the last one I really played a lot. But I think that's one of the coolest things of the game, though, is the fact that it runs on a real world clock.
No, it's not that it doesn't run on a real world clock, but if you're feeling limited by, oh well, I'm at work the time when all these this stuff is happening, it's like what's the point?
But you can change that now.
Yeah, that's why they added this feature. I think it was a really smart
addition. So you can please the kids who actually do go home at like 3 PM and they can please us.
Yeah.
Talk about what's new, what's different, what's cool, what's lame.
So the big thing now is that you're the mayor of the village, which, you know,
mayor.
I said, I haven't played since I played the N64 one, which only came out in Japan, and the GameCube one, and then I skipped the next two. I played the DS one for like a week, and I was like, this is the same game, and I gave up. I didn't even touch the Wii one.
I played the GameCube one and the DS one the most, and the Wii one I totally skipped.
So now for me, anyway, it's been like two generations more or less that I skipped, and I'm back, and I wanted to try it again, and I'm really enjoying it, actually.
Yeah, totally.
And it's not, obviously, if it was just the same game again, I don't think I would be, but I think the reason that I like it so much is they've finally done some, well, at least it seems to me like they've finally done some new stuff with it. Like, there's a lot more of a actual social aspect to it now that you have the Street Pass stuff and you can actually go online and visit other people's villages. So I guess you could do that on the Wii, but you couldn't do that on the DS.
Not only that, though, like,
What is the Street Pass stuff? Oh, we can't just like say that
the
stuff.
The Street Pass stuff. Well, the way it works is it unlocks after a few days. And the Street Pass, basically, when you pass another person, you have this section of town. So you've got your town. Then you've got above that, you've got your, you call
shopping it
shopping district in English. Yeah, you got your Shotengai. And then above that, there's another area that opens up where it's just like a bunch of like, it's like a big open plot of land, three different areas.
When you say above that, like physically?
Like you walk up,
you
keep going up north, I guess, basically. Okay. And then when you street pass with people, they show up in the plaza there. And then their houses appear in those plots of land. So you can actually go check out their houses exactly as they are.
And you can buy their stuff.
Wait, that I didn't know. Where do you buy their stuff from?
You go in there, and I think you can just there's a.
Is it that little vending machine?
You can
in front
see
of the
like
house?
You can see like a little almost like their gamer card almost. You can see their avatar, and they'll have like a little quote and any achievements that you got in the game, and as well. That and you can order any of the furniture that they
have. So you can basically say I saw this at their house, I want to order it from the shop, like the way
which is really smart.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But so
cool.
You street pass automatically with people's houses, but to visit their whole town you
to
go
visit
online.
The town you have to be you can't visit their town unless you're friends with them.
Not true, because
really?
eventually you will unlock the dream massage parlor.
Okay.
Where like
this is a child's
where
game.
In
this
like in the been... form of like almost friend code styled numbers you can go visit any town.
Really?
When you go there, like whatever you do doesn't have any lasting effect like it would if I went to your town and like you
on
know,
their town you mean
unshoveled up holes everywhere.
But can I go to their town and like grab fruit off their trees and bring it back?
That I don't know yet because I haven't unlocked yet.
That sounds
but,
like a weird
like you can go and see things and do whatever, but it won't actually have an effect on their game. And Nintendo actually set up a Nintendo Land.
I did see that on the website.
My air quotes, but with all sorts of like Nintendo themed houses and all sorts of fun stuff that
really?
You can go and see.
Like Link's uncle's house.
There is a replica.
Oh man, that'd be awesome.
There's a replica of the Temple of Time with like the Master Sword and
how the hell do you do that in an Animal Crossing?
Because
house
another thing in this game is that they have these fortune cookies that you can buy using
this is the coolest new
3DS game coins.
I heard you guys talking about that. Okay, so
one
you buy
day.
Them using 3DS game coins, okay.
And
one a day.
Yeah. And you get a fortune and then you turn that fortune in and you get a Nintendo themed item.
The fortune actually say something like a real fortune?
I
had a fortune that said mission complete and then it turned out to be a R-Wing from Star Fox.
Oh.
And it's awesome because it's big, actually. It's in my room right now, and it's got like a trail of like you know white light out of the back of it, like as if it was firing.
So they're not like little trinkets, but they're actually large.
No, they're awesome. Yeah. They're nice. Well, they're big and small. There's clothes. There's
I
items.
There's
and when you get it close to it and hit the button, it plays the Star Fox music for like 5 seconds. It's
oh,
really
cool. Right, and I have a invincibility star in my room that just plays the invincibility music on loop. Or like my room music.
In one of the Street Pass houses today, somebody had a potaboo, you know, like the fireballs from Mario that spin around. And
oh,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
It's playing it's spinning
oh,
around
yeah,
in their
yeah,
apartment
yeah,
and
yeah.
It's playing the music like dun 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 dun
yeah, yeah.
A4. It's
that's
really
pretty
awesome.
There was another one I saw like a bullet bill that actually shoots out a bullet bill.
Really?
Yeah. And
awesome. Dogs that shoot bees.
Right. I got a Majora's Mask.
Nice. Really.
Yeah, and you had an interesting comment about that Majora's
because
Mask.
Because it is cell shaded.
What does that mean? Are you implying that maybe they're or I guess hoping that they're making like a cell-shaded version of Majora's
Mask?
Would
be nice.
That would be
pretty because
would
be none pretty of the cool. None of the other
but
items
the whole,
have any sort of weird.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so the normal items are not it looks different than
yeah,
really.
It does.
That is interesting.
That's very very.
So are all of these fortune cookie items all Nintendo
yes.
legacy
yeah.
things? Okay.
They each have a number and like you'll be like okay, I got number 42 and what is it? Oh, it's like the Varia suit pants. Like
right.
I got the legs for the same
today.
Suit.
Okay, so what about other like crafting and building and making stuff? Like you can do that kind
of
thing.
So yeah, there's some new a couple of new things. One, both of which I haven't been able to access yet. But one is well, actually no, one of them I have been able to access, but I just haven't done it. It's the pro garment making. So like in past Animal Crossings, you were able to design clothes, but it was like you know a square pattern that they would put on your chest and your arms, and it would all look really stupid.
Right.
But in the pro design,
I think the pro one might have been in the Wii version. I'm not sure.
Really?
But anyway, yeah.
But you can make a full on like. Recreated suit down.
You design
to
the
arms.
Front, the back, the sleeves, like
right,
every aspect
right.
of the clothes,
and you can
yeah,
trade them using QR codes.
Familiar.
Too.
I made an 8-4 shirt. It's pretty nice. It's
oh,
like
nice.
The perfect replication of the logo.
Oh, cool!
I put an 8-4 play logo on the back, but it was kind of ugly, so I took it off.
Trading through QR codes—that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's you know one of the things going back to Street Pass that I found is kind of interesting is that a lot of people are starting to use the Street Pass functionality to show off. The cool stuff that they made.
How so? How can you
like so you'll
well,
go
in
into
house,
their
house, right?
Yeah,
well,
you'll
can
go
in
their
house
and then you'll see all they'll have their custom shirts and stuff. Like I saw like a Hatsune Miku outfit and some other video game characters from other games And like people just kind of put them on display. It's really neat.
That's cool.
Interesting.
So what else new?
Well,
what
the other big thing is you can build, you can, I mean, because you're the mayor, you can build your town, right? You can build the first thing a lot of people get is you can build new bridges. Every town, the towns are a little smaller this time, but I think that's because they have the shopping district as well and the other stuff. But there's like a river usually going through your town. And in the start, there's only one bridge. So it's kind of a pain to get around. But eventually you can build more bridges. I think you can build more structures.
You can build more structure. I'm currently building the Mr. Rossetti counter area, because like apparently at the beginning of the game he shows up and he's like, I've been fired, the government cut all my funding, can you do something about it? And you don't have to, but I want to, so I'm gonna give Rossetti
you can
job.
Just keep him a homeless bum.
Yeah, well, I like Rossetti, he's a cool guy.
Okay.
it's really, you know, I it's hard for me to comment too like authoritatively on it because I didn't play the last one that much, right. But one thing I will say is really awesome, and I think this has been in the old ones, but I don't really remember it, but I just love how the dialogue in this game is so like realistic. Like, I mean, like the people will talk to you about completely different stuff every time you talk to them. Like, I had someone come up to me today dialogue. And I'm wearing a gas mask right now, and someone came up to me and was like, that mask is scary, I don't want to talk to you. And then I was like, you know, I saw a movie recently, and that's freaking me out. And it's like they'll comment on the stuff you're wearing and the stuff you're doing and
that's
everything.
Really
it's
cool.
Like
that's always been the genius of Animal Crossing, right?
Which is
that there's so much context specific dialogue.
Yeah.
And yeah, every even, you know, weird holidays and stuff like that, night, day, weekend.
And as far as I remember, they've always done a really good job of capturing that in English as well.
Oh yeah.
What they do in Japanese is they do the sentence ending thing that is very common in Japanese,
right,
where like every character has their own unique one. But that doesn't always work in English, but somehow they've pulled it off mostly pretty smoothly.
Yeah, I mean that was one of the great, you know, Nintendo localizations, I think.
So. This is the first Animal Crossing ever, I think, that's not come out simultaneously. So it just there's probably just so much text and everything else, and with the Wii U launch and all that, they probably just I'm assuming they just either couldn't get it done in time or decided to like hold off for like when the storm, you know,
clears. Well, I can't even imagine how much text is in that.
Apparently,
game,
so, I can't remember. I read on Gaff just before the podcast, but there was like 200 or 300 unique characters in this game.
I think it was 120. I think there was 100 in the last game. I think
in the Wii
and
version,
added 20. Because
they actually
say.
Mentioned
like,
this.
Maybe
on
it was
Wada
230 asked. Or something.
The Wii version had 1.6 million characters, which, as we know, is bigger
Japanese characters.
Meaning Japanese characters.
Right. We're talking about
actual.
Right. 1.6 million unique characters. No, I'm talking about as far in terms of the amount of text, which
is
just a shit ton of text. Like,
yeah,
that's
huge.
Bigger than the project we're on now, which is our biggest project ever. So that's a lot of text. And this one's even bigger. So.
But yeah, and some of the other new things they added, you're able to go into the water.
Yeah, you can swim now. You can take your socks off.
You
have legs now. I mean, they changed your character
Revolution Gaming
dimensions.
Yeah,
where now there are
they
pants
took them
as
from
well.
Fire Emblem. They took your feet away and Fire Emblem gave them to the Animal Crossing.
You got feet. You got legs. You can wear pants.
Wow, that's a back of the box bullet point.
Yeah.
Legs
now with pants.
But the whole going into the water thing is like, you know, you can go into the water and then there's yet another like collecting thing that you can do while you're in there. You can go free diving for all sorts of like deep sea creatures and stuff like that.
So you like go underwater and does the perspective change or how does that work?
No, it's like, so when you're in the water, there'll be like a little black spot that's kind of like floating around and then you'll go up to it and then you'll dive down and sometimes it'll run away from you and you'll have to chase it while you're underwater.
Okay.
But all you can see is the little black spots. But it just gives you more and more and more stuff to collect. Mm. And like there's so much stuff to spend money on in this game that like you are just, you know,
yeah, they've given you more and more ways to make money now too. Like a trick a lot of people did in the past games, way back to the first one, was you'd go around every day with your shovel and hit rocks, and one of them would give out money every day. And like the more hits you got in the limited amount of time, the more money you could get. Now they have, you can shatter a rock as well, and that rock always leaves behind like a rare jewel, which you can also sell for money. So like they're not holding back on the money, which is another great thing because there's so much, like you said, there's so much stuff to buy,
so much stuff,
so much stuff to do. Like you pay for pretty much every service you do.
Right.
So what are like the, give me some value judgments on this game, like the good and the bad and the whatever, indifferent.
I personally will say one thing that's not so great about it, and this has always been a problem, is that it takes forever to save and you have to save after every like major event, you know, like especially, and this really sucks, but it's awesome how you can visit people's villages on the internet. But when you do, every time someone comes in or out of your village, it stops your game and it's like someone's entering or exiting your village. And then like it stops, it saves, it shows a little cutscene of them coming in.
Mm.
I think it stops and saves again or something. Like, it basically spends all this time. So,
how
like
much time are we talking about?
Me and Johnny, Johnny the Future, who used to intern for us, were in JJ's village the other day. And, like, basically, that means three people in another person's village. And, like, it happened three times. And, like, it's, like, 5 to 10 seconds each. It's probably more like 10 to 15 seconds each time.
It feels longer than it probably is.
Right, like, you really didn't... you could just leave me a little message that says somebody showed up. I don't need to see this cutscene every time. Right. That was annoying. But,
What about good stuff? I mean, give me both good and bad. Like,
well, I mean, there's this one really awesome feature is that when you become best friends with people, like when you go to somebody's town and you meet them in the game, you can become best friends. And what that allows you to do is basically whenever you're playing the game and they're playing the game at the same time, you can chat.
Yeah, we can chat together, even though we're not in the same town once we've done that.
And it'll tell you, your friend just got online.
Can you only have one best friend?
No, that's kind of a misnomer. It's a Japanese thing. Yeah, I think in English they'll call it something else, because best friends is just like your group of like your closest friends. It could be up to 100,
so it'd be like close friends.
No, maybe like 16. I forget.
Yeah, because 100 people. No, it wasn't 100.
I was thinking of the Wii U friend list because they just announced that. But no.
So how does it, when you say something to this friend, how does it appear?
It just appears like in a bubble somewhere on your
screen.
What
they actually said.
Yeah. That's another cool thing. Like, so if I'm in JJ's village and even if we're just chatting locally, like he could be on the other end of the village.
Right.
Depending on how far away you are, like the bubble will still appear and you can see what they're saying, but it might be smaller or whatever, depending on how close to you they are.
Right. So yeah, what else?
Really digging it. I just think the social aspect
in general.
Oh, I'm super into it. Yeah, like I didn't think I was going to be.
Totally, yeah.
I'm actually disappointed that I bought the retail version now because this is the kind of game I would just rather have on all the time.
Yeah, download version.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm starting when the next big, you know, when Monster Hunter, well, I'll probably be done with it by Monster Hunter 4, but if there's another game that comes out on the 3DS before this that I want to play, I'm going to be like, I don't know.
I bet you I'll end up buying it again in download form once they, because right now you can't transfer your save data, but they're working on something that will let you do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so once that comes out, I probably will just buy the download one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's because it's been so long since I played it Animal Crossing or not, but I'm just like really hooked on it, and I feel like this time they really got the I don't know how to explain it, but they keep you hooked by giving you new and
That's another thing that's really good about the design. I mean, it's always been this way, but I think because there's just so much stuff now, it's like every day something new happens basically. Like they opened
they're
up
dribbling the
right.
If you go around with the, you do a bunch of stuff for your assistant. You have an assistant because you're the mayor and she helps you out with stuff. And if you talk to her a lot,
is it always a she?
Yeah, it's Shizue, I think is her name, and she's always the same.
Her brother is the Sudochigai guy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you talk to her a lot, and she will give you, you know, various bits of information and advice. Sometimes she'll give you items. If you basically go through all the conversations with her, you'll get items from her, and like you'll get this like flower pot that you can use to water plants. And then if you actually go around
You water plants with a flower pot?
Not a flower pot, I'm sorry. what do you call it? The thing you use to water plants.
I know what you're talking about. Everybody knows what you're talking about.
Come on, we've been living in Japan for a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, you get one of those to water the plants, and then if you actually do that enough, a flower shop opens up in your town, and then you can go in the flower shop and buy like a bunch of stuff to grow your flowers. You can get an axe to cut down trees. Like, it's like the way you play the game determines how stuff unlocks, and so there's always new stuff, and it's different for everybody.
Right.
Right. So I mean, it sounds like Animal Crossing, just more of it.
More of it and more varied. Like, so like my experience isn't going to be the same as JJ's, and that therefore when we're talking about it, we're not getting the same stuff every day. Like, we're getting I got this, but he got that.
And, like, he got his floral shop way before I did, and I'm like way ahead in terms of like, you know, the core story progression of like upgrading my house and stuff like that.
This assistant is not like a annoying Nintendo style assistant.
She's cool. She's actually really piping up in Japanese anyway. She's really kind of charming, and like her dialogue is really cute and
she
funny.
She just stays in the City Hall all day, all night.
She's not annoying though, where she's like, oh, like constantly, you know what I'm talking about.
Animal
right?
Crossing has that R button thing where you can speed the text along, so nobody really gets like super annoying.
But there isn't like a someone following you around going,
you gotta kind of go and talk to her.
The only time you will ever see her talk to you is when you start up the game and she'll be like, hey, someone new is in your town, or hey, there's
today the old mayor, because the old mayor's kind of been a standby thing in like all the Animal Crossing games, and then he's gone.
I love his story.
And well, he retired, right?
Right.
He retired to a southern island, basically. And like, he came in my game today and visited, and then like talked about, oh, you can come visit the island now, come see me or whatever, you know, because this is your excuse to go visit an island and get rare stuff.
Right.
And then after he was done, she was starts talking about how she's all like jealous because she's never had a day off and she really wants to go to the island. And then she asks you to bring her back omiyage, souvenirs or whatever. It's all really cute and charming. And it's like you kind of want to do it for her because she's like been really helpful. So I like it.
Yeah. Cute and charming, I guess, sum up with that game.
Graphics are nicer.
They are?
A little bit. I mean, that is the one thing I would say. Like, if there's another negative, it's that they haven't changed it enough.
I think they have.
But I will say, with everything else they've done, it doesn't bother me as much now because it really does feel, because of the mayor thing and all the online stuff, I do feel like this is
legitimately... Do you find yourself going online a lot to other people's...
We've only done it a couple times.
Yeah, not too much yet.
What's the reason to do it?
The point is now...
Oh,
like,
well, the reason to go to other people's villages is like it was in the past games. Like, I can go to JJ's village and get fruit that only he has and then bring it back, grow it in my town, sell it for more money.
Okay.
That sort of thing.
But now there's not just that kind of thing now. They actually, on the island, the resort island or whatever, they have these things called tours that'll... are kind of like almost mini games where you can take all your friends and go like on a fishing competition and stuff like that. That's and cool. Then you actually get like these medals that you can buy cool stuff with. Huh. So
the music is really good too. Oh, like God. It's really good this time. Yeah. Also, like apparently I haven't seen it yet, but what's his name? Kotaka? I forgot his English. KK Slider, I think is his English name.
Sure.
Apparently, you know, the dude who plays the music on Saturday nights, like this time he's like in a club DJing.
He's a DJ. Yeah.
Like it sounds really cool. I need to see it.
You know, the whole island thing aspect of it made me think like, you know, Tomodachi Collection takes place on an island.
Right.
And like shares a lot of aspects with Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think does a lot of interesting things that Animal Crossing doesn't, and vice versa. It's right. Almost too bad that those will probably have to always be two separate games because
maybe they'll make an Animal Crossing cross Tomodachi Collection.
Oh God, I mean, please don't.
They probably won't because, well, I wish they would, because actually having all that Animal Crossing stuff but also being able to have all of your Miis be characters in this thing would be really cool.
Yeah, that does seem like a logical next step would be to somehow incorporate Miis into Animal Crossing.
Right.
But, I mean, there's probably a reason they haven't done it. I don't really know.
Probably because they can sell a shitload as two separate each.
Oh, well, that's
two separate games.
That's true, actually.
But like being able to set your relationship like this is my mother, this is my brother, this is my brother-in-law, this is whatever, and having a ton of conversations just based on the relationship
you
between
can set
people.
Yourself as your own grandpa.
Yep, there you go. I'm my own grandpa. Google it. Or what was it? Pringle it? No. Dorito it.
Dorito it.
So any final words about New Leaf?
I'm
Does
just
it come
I,
out in
I don't they haven't said actually. They just said early next year.
Okay.
People are guessing right now March-ish.
If you're a lapsed Animal Crossing lover,
yeah, this might be enough to get
this,
you back.
This will definitely be enough.
And even if not, I mean the last portable one you would have played at least would have been DS, and this is definitely significantly improved over the DS version, I think.
Yes.
So
when you guys were online, were you voice chatting with each other?
No.
You can't voice chat this time. You could in the Wii version.
In the Wii one, because it came with a Wii Speak.
Oh, yeah. That amazing technology.
That wonderful technology.
And I was wishing you could voice chat because I mean you have the little keyboard, but typing out with the stylus is not
right,
fun.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah, the online probably could use a little bit more work. The Street Pass stuff is great. Probably my favorite Street Pass so far.
Yeah.
Experience so far.
Right. And wow, really?
Yeah, because it's just, you know, there's so much to see and do. It's really
I mean, you fun. Think about it. You get to go in everybody's house and see all their stuff. And if you have a lot of stuff, there's a lot of cool things to look at.
So. One thing, just as an aside, like, you know, Japanese Street Pass trends in Animal Crossing right now, everybody seems to be making, like, the fungus... mushroom room. I don't get it. Like,
really?
Everybody's what? Every like.
Are there a lot of different varieties of mushrooms or something?
I don't know, but like maybe that's like one of the first few items you get are mushroom kind of items.
Maybe
but like
cheap.
Maybe I don't know, but most of the like more complete houses that I've seen have been mushroom houses.
Japan does have some kind of weird thing with mushrooms. Like, what is the super incredibly popular game where you're just like picking up mushrooms?
Oh yeah, it's the iOS game. I forgot the name.
It's just the name of a mushroom.
Nameko.
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot the English name already.
Yes, and it's like the most ridiculously simple.
It is so stupid.
Speaking
My
of
wife loved it though.
Ridiculously simple and so stupid. Did you guys notice the Dragon Collection? Is
I did. I loved your
on
tweet
sale in the U.S. Yes.
Wait on sale?
Sale?
Yes. I mean, like, oh, I mean, it's available on the iOS
store.
You were
for pay.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's free to play and
you're
buy,
like
buying
the
shit.
Piece of shit game that's like single handedly keeping Konami afloat.
Yes. Which is exactly what it is. This is the game that Konami is devoting all of their resources to. Yep. that everybody's working on either this or some derivative of it, because right. it's still incredibly popular. I think there's like 7 million active users in Japan.
I actually have
7 million.
I have a story about that. A friend of mine, I was visiting him, and he started playing it in front of me, and I asked him, like, is that fun?
Playing it in quotes.
Yeah, playing yeah. it as much as pressing the buttons. Yeah.
Yes.
And I asked him, do you enjoy that? He's like, no, not really. It's not that much fun. I was like, right. then why are you playing it?
Is it one of those things where it's just like a boom? Like, all Japanese people are doing it, so everyone else has to do it too?
That wasn't what he said, though. No, he was just sort of like, I'm thinking it's going to get more fun later as I get more of the dragons. And I was like, what?
So basically, like, just to quickly explain what this type of game is, even though I've never actually played Dragon Collection.
Oh, you know what it is.
It's basically like a one-button game where you either... The social aspects of it, how I describe these games is normally like the game is like 90% gameplay, 10% social aspect. These games are 90% social aspect, 10% gameplay. That 10% gameplay is mostly pushing like a button.
Right.
There's a lot of, it's a card battle game, so there's probably a lot of, you know, organizing your cards and choosing your cards and gathering cards and trading cards and doing all that kind of bullshit. But basically, you're like hitting a single button.
It's like playing a slot machine constantly. In one of the most desperate and just awful casinos right. you'll ever be in.
Slot machine is actually a very good analogy because you have like, you know, almost no choice in most slot machines of what to do. Some of them let you hold some and spin again or whatever, but generally you're just doing that one button over and over and over again, hoping for a payout.
Just one more crank.
Which is loot.
Exactly.
And I mean, there's nothing about, you know, the art style is not particularly interesting. Nothing about it. I think Konami was as probably surprised as anyone else.
Yeah.
But it became this huge monster hit and still going strong here. But anyway, Gree brought it over to America, and we'll see how hard it flops. And I'm going to say pretty hard.
I don't know, dude. Probably. Like, the top grossing iPhone games in America right now are almost all these fucking card games. They've come over because of that one Bahamut game.
Just, I thought like, that, like, crazy Americans knew better.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I don't know. This flopped in Canada, for whatever it's worth. They did a test thing of 3 months.
You know what? Canadians have good taste.
Those guys are all right.
Thank God for Canada. We like Canada.
Seriously.
We will not blame Canada for that one. Mm. But what were we talking about before? I just got it aside about on Dragon Collection.
How did we get to Dragon Collection?
I don't know. JJ was talking about... Halo 4.
I was talking about... Was I?
Oh, yeah.
God. Do we have to do this? Before we start Halo 4 talk, do we have to do this?
What are you talking about?
Yes,
why?
We have to do this.
Because
why
would this is the Japanese podcast.
Halo's popular here.
Are you trying to... You're channeling like an idiot, right?
No, I'm just
yes, fucking right, me. Exactly. So, yeah. So, John, you got
although
it
not like
well.
We have a whole lot to say about it yet, I don't think. I don't. Well, you probably have more than I do, I guess, but...
I don't know.
But before we say anything, like, I follow Galleon EB, who is, like, the
most hardcore...
He's the most delicious, best...
most
Halo
hardcore Halo player that I know. Uh-huh. He's, like, made, like, every fucking official thread on Gaff.
Okay, yes.
And he is like, I think I'm done with Halo.
Really?
I think I'm done.
Why?
Because it's not Bungie.
Because it's not good.
Really?
Yeah. That's just not true, though.
I'd be interested to hear his reasons for it.
Yeah, he said a few things, but I don't know enough about Halo to repeat them.
We were out with a friend last week, and he was telling us that somebody gave it a really bad review.
Yeah, what's his name? Tom Chick on... Oh, let's not talk about that. Let's just talk about the game.
Well, no, I'm just saying that some people are giving it really bad reviews, but I think that it's just...
Very few people. It's not,
but I don't see how...
Metacritic is
like,
88.
I understand people have different opinions or whatever, but like to give a game like a really super low score like that or whatever just doesn't make sense to me. The game is good.
Right.
Like, there's no...
Let's not talk about the scores. Let's just talk about the game.
Mm.
So talk about the game. The
game is good.
So I'm like... four to 6 hours into the campaign.
Campaign only takes like 8 hours.
But I've replayed. Well, I'm playing on heroic, so I'm dying.
This day and
a lot.
Age, that's pretty long, dude.
I'm dying a bunch. So I've seen the new enemies. I'm like into that. I'm into the new weapons.
Are you
and
playing
stuff
on
like that.
Legendary?
I'm playing on heroic.
Okay.
First time through.
Which one is harder?
Heroic is the
legendary
third.
Legendary is the hardest.
Okay. Oh. I'm playing on heroic too. I don't start legendary.
And I replayed the levels in co-op again to where I'm at.
Oh,
so
really?
I played through them like twice. Yeah.
With who? Like random people? Or
with Ryan Payton. Oh,
okay,
actually.
Nice.
And then I've played.
Wait, what does it do when you play co-op? Does it just like? Is there like a second?
Yeah,
Master Chief
just like
or something.
All
is he just not in the cutscenes of things?
Or? Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then I played about maybe three or four hours of multiplayer.
Really?
Yeah. And like
I'm not interested in multiplayer because I can't hope to compete.
Like, so that's it's sad because I'm. I mean, I used to actually be good.
Yeah, yeah. I
used
remember
to actually be decent. I used to be a contender. I am awful now. I am the guy who I used to laugh at.
Well, because you know all these other people who are really good are playing like 16 hours a day.
No, that's true. But also, I don't play first person shooters. How I was originally good was I was amazing at Quake. Right. And that just, I mean, I'm just going to say humble. It. I was fucking a fucking superstar. I was like, not Michael Jordan, but
you
I would
were,
be
you
like,
fatality or
I was on the Lakers. Like, I was like, I was like a starter on the Lakers. Right. Okay. I was not like a marquee player, but I was a starter.
You were in that like famous clan or whatever, right? Like,
yeah. Impulse 9. But, yeah. but so I was good. I'll just say that. And that those skills actually really carried over at first.
Right.
Like,
right.
But like all skills, when you don't use them, they just atrophy. So, right. And that has slowly, steadily happened. I didn't really play much multiplayer. I haven't played much multiplayer since Halo 3.
You're like Shaq after he started his rap career. He just sort of slowed down, got fat.
No, man. Shaq was still, don't talk shit about Shaq after Shaq Fu and
the Fushnikins.
That's that dude. He was still going strong there for a while. I'm like, I went really bad. I was like,
okay.
Clint Eastwood at the Republican convention. Ooh. Like that kind of ouch. Like doddering idiot who like I walk into, you know, an encounter one-on-one with overpowered and we both know who should win this thing and I just end up dead and right, embarrassingly right. So anyway, my multiplayer skill or lack thereof notwithstanding, the multiplayer I'm really really enjoying it.
Really?
Yeah. And not for the reason probably most people are, which is like the Call of Duty-esque leveling system and like customizing each piece of your armor and like your layout and all this kind of crap. Mm-hmm. I'm just liking it because it has a lot of what I know and love from previous Halo games, including levels, including, of course, all the weapons that I'm so familiar with.
Right.
But also, you know, the vehicles, the new like mech thing, which is really fun and just cool to see people stomping around in. Yeah. I mean, and I've barely scratched the surface of this thing. And I definitely feel that way. But even just getting pounded and humiliated, I am still enjoying myself.
Awesome.
And the game looks so fucking amazingly gorgeous.
I will agree there completely. The game looks really
best
really,
looking game
really
I have
good.
Ever seen at home, like period. Like I'm just gonna
obviously beautiful this time, right? Not subtly
right
beautiful.
no subtle beauty this time. It's just out and out beautiful. Like I find myself, one interesting thing that I found myself about the aesthetic, people have remarked before that it reminds them of Metroid Prime, and yeah. That's very much the case.
Isn't that just because of the way the visor is kind of set up, though, more or less?
No.
Well, no, some really? Of the enemies look pretty.
Yes, yeah. Oh, some okay. of the enemies and the weapons and just the overall design aesthetic, even from the beginning environment, which, you know, you've seen in a million different games, just like the walking through a big machine, basically, which is like a spaceship in
on
this case.
On the Forward Under Dawn or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah. Even all of that stuff seems to sort of take cues from it. And I've definitely noticed that, but my point is that the other part of the game that reminds me of Metroid Prime is I find myself just sitting there, like, looking at the environment in awe of the graphics.
Yeah, yeah.
From the very first room, where I think this is safe to spoil, you're in, like, a cryo chamber.
Right, right.
That you ended Halo 3 in. The Chief steps out. Like, looking at the frosted glass on the other chambers, and, like, this one is different from the next one, and is different from the next one. Mm. They're not all totally unique, but I was just like, holy shit, like, look at that. Yep. Look at that.
Yeah.
Like, somebody's life just sat there for like a month, and that's exactly what I would do in Metroid Prime is walk around and be like, there's a fucking like little stone here in this corner that where there was a missile thing.
Don't they have Metroid Prime artists working on this?
So I think so. Yeah, they did. They definitely have shared some people, and I want to say some of the concept artists might have come from there or done stuff from Retro or something, because it does share that as well. But the attention to detail and the like the craftsmanship, the textures on some of the rocks. I'm the last guy that's ever going to be like, man, this game has amazing textures, but
amazing rocks.
Yes. Like you're walking through like a canyon valley and both sides of it are like, holy fuck, that just looks real.
Yeah.
Like you were saying in the humans in the start of the game too.
So yeah, that looks the facial animations and just the facial I guess that's textures, whatever it is, but they look amazing. Like they look so real.
And for a series that's been known for like its problems with like paper mache kind of Yep. Almost looked like they were carved out of mashed potatoes. faces.
They stepped it up something big time in that area.
Right.
The dialogue too. The dialogue for the most part. Okay. So I'm only at the near the end of the second level. I'm still pretty early on. I haven't seen like the quote unquote new stuff really yet.
Right.
So for me, it's still been mostly traditional Halo. But like, the dialogue has been really good. The story immediately starts off as a way more personal than any previous one. So I was like obviously more interested in it. But yeah, like the facial expressions, Cortana too, when she's talking to you, like she's made these expressions that I've never seen before in video games. Like, oh, that looks totally real. And yes, a human would do that. No, I've never seen anyone pull that off. Like they just make her look
real. That one game with the mobsters.
LA Noir.
No,
oh,
right. You should play LA Noir.
Yeah. But you should see this too, though. I mean, it's really, really impressive. It's probably it's gotta be at least close if it's not the same level.
Cortana, who's also now kind of oddly just sort of a naked woman standing there now, like doesn't seem so much of a computer generated.
I mean, they try to justify some changes in the story, like I upgraded your firmware while you were sleeping or whatever. But it's like then there's other things where they look completely different from how they looked 5 minutes ago.
But they did a redesign on everything, right?
Yeah.
Even all of the bad guys look a little different, and mostly for the better.
They sound different too, which I wonder is story related. Like the grunts and the what do you call them? The taller dudes,
elites
and stuff at the beginning of the game. Anyway, don't speak English.
Well, right. So in the elites never did. Well, they spoke in backwards English, right? Like
right. They still do that. Yeah.
Right. And the grunts. Joe Staten, who was a writer at Bungie, used to be the very distinct voice of the grunts. And I thought they did something interesting there, which is they have somebody who's sounding like him, but they're not speaking in English, at least at the start of the game. I don't know if...
I wonder if it's story... Later, I mean, I could see it be story-related, totally, because they're out in the middle of nowhere.
I don't know. But. I wonder if they do ever explain it. But the couple things that I will say weak spots are noticeably worse sound effects.
Really?
Interesting. Yes.
I didn't really
actually
notice.
I am not
is
one
that not just because you got an amazing sound system and now you can hear everything like
no although that is a reason like I'm enjoying the soundtrack, which I think sounds very different than previous Halos.
It's very good
but enjoying it, very epic. I can't, it's not like a hummable stick in your head kind of thing like previous Halos would have Marty O'Donnell music, but it's very good and appropriate for the moment. Super epic, like production values out the ass on this game.
Yep.
I mean they spent a lot of money, but noticeably weak sound effects. And by that it's like who cares, sound effects, whatever. I normally wouldn't even notice this, but the weapons, every single weapon, I mean a big part of Halo is the feel of the weapons, and you get that of course from the gameplay, but also you get a surprising amount through sound effects, just reloading and the satisfaction of firing a weapon or reloading the, you know, phoom, like in the different reloading some of the Covenant weapons and that sort of thing. Just the satisfying sounds and knowing everything that's going on, and just you really, I miss them now that they're not there. I noticed them 1,000 more times that, like, hats off, total respect to Bungie's sound department, because those guys must have really just been doing a fucking amazing job. I mean, a lot of iconic, super memorable weapon sounds that I haven't heard for 5 or 6 years, and now I'm like, oh, this really doesn't sound that cool.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't noticed that so much.
They make a lot of the new weapons just feel really weak, like little pea shooter, you know, the alien technology. It's almost all going to be sound, because you basically are just shooting little light balls at things. A lot of the weapons, I can't even really tell what this is supposed to be, because the sound effect doesn't fit it. It's I think this is kind of a close range shotgun or whatever, but old Halo, you just pick something up and you would know from how it looked and how it sounded exactly, this is a short to close range weapon. It's powerful, but probably reloads slow. You know, you told a lot of things from this purely sound language.
Totally.
And, the only other thing that I noticed, and this is just kind of a weird thing, is some of the animations seem a little weird, which I normally wouldn't notice either. But like in Elite, when Elite throws a grenade at you, for example, it just looks kind of weird, awkward. It kind of throws kind of like a girl. Like he throws awkward.
No offense, girls.
No offense. No. I mean,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like if you're a righty throwing with your left hand or something.
Exactly.
Or
something. Yeah. A little bit like that. Like a little bit too canned as well, animation. But notwithstanding that stuff, it's got the sandbox moments that I totally
so
loved.
First two levels alone, even, which all I played so far has got just felt suitably like epic, like Halo 1, you know, levels of like, I feel so empowered, like in this like giant world, like, you know, there's cliffs everywhere and there's like all these like vantage points you can take and all this like different, you feel like you're really getting tactical, which is what was always really appealing to me about Halo in the first place.
Yeah, my deal is like, you know, I try just doing a charge, which is stupid anyway. Of course I die. I try doing a charge a different way, like two or three times. I keep dying. I'm like, okay, they are going to actually make me like respect. They're going to make me use the shit. They're going to make me hide and do stuff. And then
that's
it was
how
like,
I always play. Yeah. I have to, I'm like, play the way I played Resident Evil, like one step at a time, basically, like conserving everything and like being super careful. Remember where the weapons are. So I can go back and get them.
Yeah. And I start doing that and I'm still getting killed, which is even better. Cause it's like, okay, now I have to actually really think like I'm going to be lazy if they'll let me be lazy, but they're not letting me be lazy. I have to think this through. Okay, I have to get that rocket launcher. First things that I need to do is take care of that ghost. I need to get that guy before he gets on the turret. Then I'm going to use the turret. Fuck it, this time I'm not going to try using the turret because that's where I got killed last time. So I'm going to, you know, all that kind of those set piece moments, those rooms that you remember, and I can think of three of them already just from the time that I've played now that I just really, really enjoyed. Not as much vehicles, it doesn't seem like, so far, at least. I'm wondering if it's going to open up in the second half of the game.
I found it a little hard to believe. The first time you're putting... It's very early in the game. It's like the first level, basically. But the first time you're giving access to a warthog was a bit of a stretch to me. A warthog is here?
All that shit crashed down.
I know,
from
but
the sky.
It still works. If a car fell out of the atmosphere, I don't think you could get in and drive it.
Their credit, it was inside of a ship.
They have great engineers at Toyota of the future.
Some broken ones were around, and then you got into working one, right?
A little bit of a stretch.
But I was a little disappointed. Like, you didn't really use that warthog much except to get from point A to point B.
Right, they actually stop you. Like, you know, you can't get over a ledge with it.
I tried to grenade the warthog.
I did a whole bunch of stuff,
to try to keep going.
I actually went into the thing. You know, there's, like, those things where if you step in the light, it pulls you up to the top.
Yes.
I went in with the warthog, and it pulled the warthog up, and it never came down, so it was stuck.
Oh, really?
There, so I couldn't get out, yeah.
That's hilarious. Anyway, fantastic looking game. Like, this is I'm so happy I bought my new TV and sound system game.
Good timing.
So unbelievably gorgeous. Really enjoying the gameplay too. So far, I mean, I'm so glad they have new enemies and stuff like that, because parts of those,
I can't wait to see that.
How you're fighting them does feel like new Halo.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you know, reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was their goal at all. But so far, it's just like a real, very satisfying. And you know, I'm not a guy, for whatever reason, I stopped playing ODST a bit through.
I didn't like ODST.
I stopped playing Reach even a bit.
I finished Reach.
And I meant to keep playing that, but for whatever reason, I didn't. I do feel like I'm going to stick with this one and keep playing it.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with 343 because, you know, I mean, we have a lot of friends there, actually. And so, of course, I've been rooting for them from day one. But it's how could you not be, like, wondering, like, can these guys, like, Bungie was, like, the king. They made Halo. It's like, you really... It was natural, I think, to kind of doubt their ability to match up to this. But so far, anyway, I don't. There's one thing that feels different to me from the previous Halos. I mentioned this to you offline, but I noticed there's like some weird dialogue issues in the game where, like, a couple times I would like enter an area and I'll see I'll see Covenant off in the distance, and I'll even start firing at them. Cortana's silent the whole time. Then I move up a couple inches, and I obviously pass some, like, invisible line.
Right.
And then she's like, the Covenant or whatever, as if she just noticed it. I'm like, I've been shooting at them for, like, 30 seconds, you know? Like,
and that didn't happen to you in old Halo games.
Never. And that was kind of weird.
You are inching along, and you're shooting at guys from the first moment that you can.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's also indicative of how I play, which, we were just saying, I don't actually rush into things. I step by step. So I almost wonder if when they were designing this, they weren't anticipating my style of gameplay or something when they tested it.
Right.
Another thing, too, is, like, one time I had her say two things at once, which was obviously a bug, but you know, so those little kind of dialogue scripting things.
Well, she is, you know, going slowly insane
I don't think even
that's
going
a feature
insane.
That's not a bug, that's a feature.
Of course.
But, all right,
but that aside, I think I'm really impressed with what they've done with this so far.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, they did have more or less unlimited resources and whatever, but I mean, plenty of games have huge budgets and cannot pull something off, much less something that has such huge shoes to fill.
Yeah, and apparently,
so
it's been selling really well too,
to those guys. Like, but sounds like so far maybe the best selling one.
Yeah,
so far.
Did you guys see all those pictures of the people at the Halo launch? They had a thing where, like, someone was dressed up as Master Chief and, like, little kids could pose with a gun.
No,
Master Chief. Yeah.
I saw on David Ellis's Facebook page a little mini Master Chief. I made like a Che joke about it. a 3 or 4 year old kid and a little Master Chief. It was very cute.
Oh.
Anyway, is that about it? We fill our foreign are contractually required foreign game quotient.
Sometimes Famitsu covers Western games.
You know what? Halo is like...
Nobody buys those issues.
Yeah,
but,
just relax. Right. No one cares about those people who say that shit anyway.
I'm a little more like Japan elitist than most, but even I feel like Halo has earned its place alongside like games like Metroid and those other games, Japan game greats to me. Like, that is a game worthy of talking about, even on the only Japan podcast in the world.
Sure. And Japanese people do play Halo.
Yeah.
While, it's popular.
While we're at it, another game Japanese people play from the West, Grand Theft Auto V. Let's just knock this out. So they released a second trailer.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
It looked good, man. Yeah. First of all, I was surprised it's been a year since the last trailer. Like, the last one was last November.
Wow, has it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And man, it looked really, really, really fun. Like,
damn graphics.
The graphics, the dialogue, the everything about it looked like great. I mean,
dialogue
the humor
looked to me like, you know,
okay.
Grand Theft Auto kind of.
I thought it was a step up. I mean, I thought they obviously picked those scenes for a reason, but the one where the one woman is yelling at the other one,
right,
about her boyfriend or whatever, and like, or the scene out where there's the scene where he like jumps over the car or whatever. Like, all these different scenes like were like really, I don't know, it just made the game look like action packed and fun. The music with Stevie Wonder, like, that
sure.
was awesome.
But yeah, I feel like that's, you know, that's like every Grand Theft Auto.
But I didn't get that
really
in Grand Theft Auto 4. Like, I think maybe it's the setting, but I didn't feel like with the Grand Theft Auto 4, I didn't feel like attracted to the characters in any way.
You feel attracted to the three
yes,
male the
yes.
characters.
Trevor, the guy who looks like he came from Shane's hometown. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, graphically it looked good to me. I usually get excited about every Grand Theft Auto before it comes out and then don't really end up playing it. And I'm still not really excited about this one. I don't know why.
Did you like San Andreas, though? Like, that's kind of, this seems like a spiritual successor.
Never really liked a Grand Theft Auto game. I mean, I've never really gotten into them. I respect them. What they do, I think, is great.
Like, that was the one that had, like, the most, like, you know, vehicles
right.
and, like, things you could
right.
do. And that's kind of what this looks like to me.
Well, I think it will be a more like that where it's, okay, first one was us wrapping our heads around the hardware.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the like swan song. We're gonna totally exploit it. It's gonna be huge. I mean, even just in this trailer, they were showing the jets. They were hitting a lot of things, I think, to show fans that they have these features, the parachuting out of a plane on Jeep and doing all that kind of shit. It definitely
looks
huge and expansive, and I'm excited for that aspect of just to see the open world. But like, you know, the story, it almost kind of depresses me because I really think they could be doing so much in these games. And then it's a weird distinction that people have been making. I saw Brian Crescente talk about this on Polygon, but saying that he respects the storytelling, but not really the story.
Right.
And I think I kind of feel that same way.
Mm.
Like, they do have a lot of really natural dialogue, and they do have a lot of just worked into the levels. It's coming through on the radio station. It's told in the game in a lot of different interesting ways. Very adult story, very unlike video games.
Also a lot of movie-like kind of big set pieces and scenes that look like, you know, like the part in the trailer where the dude, like, crashes onto the car. Like, he fell out of something and, like, crashed on the back of the car.
And great voice talent and all the rest, but... Actually, when I tried playing 4, I'm like, this really, somebody was calling this like the Citizen Kane of video games. Like, come on, this is the actual meat of what you're doing. The actual like thread of the story to me was just completely uninteresting, hard to sympathize or relate to this guy in 4.
Yeah. I'm honestly just kind of tired of sandbox games. Like, I think like it's... In that respect, it's almost like been there, done that.
I've never finished one Grand Theft Auto. I've never not managed to get... I always get bored at some point, but...
Right. Yeah, I get bored within an hour,
you
got
to remember, too, though, these guys, like, know how to cut trailers. Like, the trailer always is super exciting.
Totally.
Like a movie. I mean...
I wish they would release, like, after they release the actual game, they release, like, the light version where you just can play straight through the story.
But you can just do that.
Well, I mean, without all the BS of, like, having to drive from place to place. And
unfortunately, the BS is what makes
the
game.
You notice?
Not necessarily,
according
to most people,
though. You basically want LA Noir. You want a button that says, okay, you don't have to drive from here to here. Just get me from here.
Well,
to there.
I don't even
they
really
even
want that.
That.
I want it to be cut like, you know, like the director's cut where like it all just makes sense. Like I don't have to, it doesn't, you know, there's no like this jankiness
you just
of getting
watch
in the car.
Yeah,
and
I was
saying,
a
movie
it sounds like a TV show.
No, but I want to play like the set pieces and stuff like that. But
you
want to
play the amazing gun shooting mechanic parts of Grand Theft Auto.
Think about it this way.
That's a sarcasm if anybody's not noticing.
The Godfather, they don't show you all the scenes of the guys driving from place to place and all that
because
stuff.
Because that's
I want,
a movie.
Right, so exactly. You basically wanted to cut the driving out.
You want the Godfather. More, yes. Yeah. They made a game, actually, for you, JJ. It's called The Godfather.
Right.
It's like, you know, in Boardwalk Empire, all the cool stuff happens in, like, it, you know, in
but what I'm saying
fashion.
Is, this, that's what I'm saying.
If, right, but I don't want it in, like, I want it to, well, I mean, this is, like, splitting hairs here, but yeah. I don't want the jankiness of, like, getting in the car and being like, okay,
having
take
to
me there.
The,
yeah, I want it to be built out. In a way that it just, like, all makes logical sense, like a movie.
You just don't like the, you're not into the driving part that much.
I just
want to see the story.
Yeah. I want to play.
I think JJ just hates
tight
video games.
Experience.
Did anybody? Anybody notice the like iMac? Like, I wonder if I couldn't tell because it was hard to tell if that was actually like an Apple.
No, you know what
probably
they do?
Not, right?
Yeah, like the what Rockstar does with those things is you, is they make a very obvious like knockoff, and then they have it through all the game, and it's like, you know, it'll be called like Orange or something
right,
and
right.
It's their social
the
satire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, a bunch of people who do not know how to cut trailers because they don't release trailers. They just jump online and talk for like an hour. Nintendo had about 20 different Nintendo Directs.
We really should just be calling the show the 8-4 Nintendo Direct Recap
show. It's kind of what it's become, and probably understandably so, leading up to the launch of the system this weekend. Which kind of freaks me out.
Yeah, I know. I'm so bummed we don't have one. I really.
Yes.
Won't
we'll
have
one next week.
Well, that's true.
That's
true.
True.
We have an awesome listener who's bringing us one.
Press has had one. Nintendo's released more things. Maybe we should take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll start in the news with all of that. Ton of Wii U stuff. A lot of different odds and ends and so forth. So come on back. Back with the Nintendo Direct breakdown. Break it down, JJ. All right, so first, Wada gets on Wada Plaza. All right, yeah, that's
can we,
really
can
distracting.
Can we just stop right there? Wada Plaza.
Yes, so
what?
Yeah, that didn't get renamed,
Wada.
Apparently.
It's like, what's the matter, you? Wada Plaza.
I love those guys, but come on.
It's the only name, we were joking, the only name left, the only combination of letters left is the clownpenis.net of features. The only combination of letters that were left, and it just happens to mean something.
Well, okay, I, you know, to like play devil's advocate
yes,
here.
Yes, try.
I think what they were going for is like, you know, with the Wii, it is a word that in countries that aren't Japan doesn't mean anything, but it will come to mean something.
Well, that's what they said, but I mean, the thing is, we, any human being can say we. Like, wara is not a normal pronunciation like sound for most nations.
We got a lot of time, so let's just move on. We don't have time for devil's advocate on dumb things.
I'm sad because you know they're never going to change it because it's set.
Well, yeah, it's going to be
at
set
this point,
now.
They
so they're slowly teaching the world Japanese. It's all part of the Nintendo world global domination.
Yep.
Spectre-like plan.
Yeah, but then people started asking me, what does we mean in Japanese? I was like, you can't even pronounce it in Japanese.
No, you gotta make up something good for that. It,
I
actually,
should have.
It's weird.
I should have.
It means, you know...
It's the sound Dio makes when he's about to kill somebody.
Okay, sorry.
It means elephant sex.
I was gonna say elephant's vagina, but...
Yeah.
It's a whale's vagina. God, I don't even know where to start. There's been so much, like, little dribs and drabs. Basically, you need, like, a four-hour seminar for somebody to explain to you everything that's going on with the Wii U.
Yeah.
Like, these guys really have their work cut out for them because I've watched now, like, three different five-minute-plus-long videos showing all the different Wii U stuff.
Did you see the...
I still don't even understand exactly how everything works.
Did you see the one narrated by the beautiful Takigawa Kristeru?
I did.
No.
Yeah.
I don't even
I'm
know.
Surprised they got her,
I
actually.
Love her.
You know who she is. Trust me. You just probably don't know her name.
Like, she's
a super famous news reporter, former news reporter.
She narrating?
A 15-minute, here's what the Wii U is video. And they even do, like, the comparison Mario Brothers Wii U.
They did.
Wii
I was
U
like, Mark
Mario
needs to
Brothers.
See this so he
know,
can
right?
see the difference. Because you can really tell the difference
yeah,
only
right.
when they do that. You really can.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
Dude,
from
watch
15
it.
Feet away.
They were about 15 feet away.
You,
like
on your precious
it.
New TV, you will absolutely
well, maybe
know the
on that, yeah. I can probably tell the difference. But anyway, so what are the highlights? Like, let me try to hit some highlights. Nintendo Network ID used to exchange contact information the same way as friend codes. So it looked a little easier to be talking with people. I mean, they basically showed a shitload. You should just watch the video, people listening to this.
They probably have.
Because we can't explain everything. But they basically showed this, like, Xbox Live, but with Facebook, but with Twitter, all rolled into one kind of weird thing, but also with PlayStation Home. It takes aspects from all these things and works it into one system, plus, well, I guess this is kind of goes along with the Xbox Live part, but plus this Netflix functionality, plus like the TV, you know, Wii TV or like whatever.
Karaoke.
Stuff. Plus karaoke. I mean, this thing is really crazy, wildly ambitious from like an OS level.
Right.
Thing. So there is a lot to explain, and it is kind of relatively complicated compared to a Nintendo system you're used to up until now, but that's because there's a bazillion features to this thing.
Right.
Some of the things that the press have been catching on to, I think, have been pretty interesting. One of the things that I was like, yeah, you know, when I think about it, that's actually going to be really great, is people talking about, there's a Kotaku and a Wired article I'm going to pull a bunch of stuff from. But this is from the Kotaku article talking about how they were kind of surprised how handy it is to just be using the controller as a TV remote.
Really?
Yeah, because you're basically like, think about it. You know, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times I'll be watching the TV and I'll be on Twitter on my iPad.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. And then, you know, you got to put the iPad down, pick up the TV remote control, turn it on, put that down, pick up the game controller, and then you're playing your game. Or with Torne, with a DVR, you're doing the same thing to watch your TiVo stuff.
Mm-mm.
But here it's that all that's basically in one controller.
Oh my god, so I can like play Dragon Quest on my controller and change the TV. I'm never gonna leave my couch.
You know what? Pause Dragon Quest 10, change the TV channel, go back to Dragon Quest 10, get stuck, open up FAQ, pause the game, open up the FAQ. Like it really is kind of fucking cool. Yeah. Like seeing it actually happen.
The one kind of like holy shit moment I had was I was listening to the Giant Bombcast. On a rare occasion, I was actually listening to another podcast, and Brad was talking about how he put it in his room, and didn't plug it up his TV or anything, just plugged it into the wall, turned on his thing, and it was playing games.
Yep.
So that is another thing. What? You don't have to fucking hook it up.
When you think about that, it's that's how it should be, right?
Yeah.
You just kind of don't expect it to be that for some reason.
You expect there's going to be something that's going to cause a problem.
Right.
It's going to take forever.
Right. So that's another thing that people have latched onto that doesn't even need to be hooked up to a TV, which is great.
Yeah.
Another thing is, and this is from the Wired article, you know, this is going to be your results vary, but like kind of going to the bathroom or going into another room, if it's close, like a Japanese apartment, he had no problem.
The fact that,
really?
And it also has to do with how thick your walls are. And
Japan, people are saying with the walls.
Paper thin.
Well, yeah, they don't use insulation.
Finally, this is why Japanese apartments have no insulation in them.
And I hope they have some sort of security measures so people next door to me don't like
mooch
off my Wii U
and stuff like that. So to go back to
that, could be a serious problem.
Yeah.
To go back to the TV remote thing, one thing I was wondering is, if you have a sound system like mine where your TV basically runs through it, I'm going to be really pissed if that's not included. If I don't know how you would do that, if it has to be a learning remote, if that functionality is in it.
Well, it goes all through HDMI. Apparently, the whole setup is like you plug all your system in
and
through the HDMI cable and all that. And then you just say like, who makes your TV?
Right.
And then it.
But that's what I mean. So will that functionality work with my sound system if it's going through?
You mean so you're playing on the controller, but will the sound come out of your sound?
No. It's can I
with
turn
the volume
on
controls.
My sound system be changing the HDMI input?
Is
on
your
my
is
sound
your sound
system,
I doubt
system
it.
That HDMI?
Unlikely. Yeah.
I doubt
okay, well
it.
Then it probably will. I'm guessing.
I'm going to go with
we'll
the doubt it.
I got a doubt it and a maybe and a probably. Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anybody talking about that aspect yet, but a lot of people run all their shit through a receiver.
Mm.
So anyway, other surprising things. Let's see what else. One thing that Chris Kohler said in his Wired article that I thought was weird, it says, when a lot of times when he had the choice to be looking at his gamepad or looking at the TV, he found himself looking at the gamepad.
Really?
Yeah, and he doesn't know. Nobody knows. You know, is that because it's novel and it's new, or is that just because it's right there and it's more immediate and it's close to you? I mean, you have this beautiful HD display, huge.
Right there. It's got to be like the iPad effect. We're so used to looking down at things now,
right?
That when,
but think about if you had a movie playing on the iPad and it was also playing on your TV, right? There's no question you're going to look at the TV. But
I'm not sure though.
No. We're gonna look at your iPad.
I'm with Mark on this one.
Yeah, come on. You're gonna look at. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, maybe it's the fact of when you're manipulating something right. and it's right yeah, there. Like, it feels like handheld. Right.
Well, it's not just that though. But I think with the game, this is a fact. With the game, the closer you are to the TV, the better you play. So I mean, it might be just a case like with Super
fact.
Mario. You'll see.
It's fact.
It is.
This is just like a fact.
Yes.
4-year-old kids like with their faces on the TV are doing really great.
Right.
I just think
it worked for Duck Hunt.
Even if you want to look at the TV, I think you're just going to naturally keep looking down at it, and I think that holds in all cases.
Let's see. You need to plug in a lot of stuff. That's one thing. So you got, of course, the system as an AC adapter,
right.
The cradle for the rechargeable cradle for the controller.
Right.
Yeah,
has one too. That better, by the way, be compatible between the different regions, or I will be pissed if I have to have two different things. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the 3DS one is
maybe not, but right. Yeah, that's true. The 3DS one.
On the subject of power, by the way.
Sorry, wait. Third one might be if you need a USB hard drive, which it sounds like you will, because it's something we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. You need another third. Power adapter. Go ahead. Yeah. What about power?
So apparently you can remove the batteries.
Yes.
Which is great, which means that maybe there will be third-party batteries that last longer and...
Potentially.
You can remove the batteries as opposed to your controller or any controller.
You mean
the batteries are like
rechargeable
basically.
Battery. You can replace it if you need to, including the one in the system. Which is interesting. That just like takes care of the clock and stuff like
right.
that.
Right. Mm. I can't wait till like 3 years later we're having like a Saturn situation. Whatever. I turn on my Wii U. It's like beep.
Exactly. I just hope that doesn't signal that there's some kind of problem with the recharging on the controller, where it's like, because these batteries are not going to be everywhere. You're going to have to order them from Nintendo, except for the battery which goes in the system itself,
I don't mind
which is more or less standard.
Like, I've never really minded keeping my controllers plugged in. In fact, my Xbox controller, I almost never unplug.
Really? Yeah, you don't use the wireless feature?
Not really.
I mean, you're very much alone.
The
in
wires
that.
Are
like,
so long.
Really
that,
like,
but it's not in the way. Like for
so
me,
that's,
so I disagree.
Another surprising thing, feet long. The controllers are apparently like 8 feet long.
I heard that
they're
too.
Super
the
long.
Cord,
so
yeah.
you'll be
controllers
having
controllers
yes.
Controllers are 8 feet,
yes. controllers are 8 feet
it's
long.
It's like the Duke.
You sit on them. Yeah, it's like the Penny Arcade.
Right.
Okay, now go ahead into your like wireless
no,
or not
agreeing,
wireless
agreeing
thing.
With you two that the wireless is a real hassle for me. I don't care if it's long enough. I just don't want the wires there.
I'm actually with John. Like the wire is so long enough that like you know
yeah, it doesn't you never
doesn't
have to bother,
bother you.
Recharging
doesn't
it.
Right,
like,
and that's fine. That's you guys. I'm saying you're the exception.
Okay.
Like most people really love their wireless shit.
Sometimes I like being the exception.
If you disagree, write in your iTunes review of 8-4 Play.
Yeah.
Your feelings
right. Oh yeah, we're supposed to do that, aren't we?
Oh, we forgot.
People don't seem to be very negative on Nintendo Land so far. People seem actually kind of positive, and people are liking the challenges in New Super Mario Bros. Wii U, which are like very specific.
Yeah.
Bounce on 10 turtles without hitting the ground, kind of achievement like things. Which brings us to a kind of a disappointment, which I also haven't seen people talking about, is the lack of a unified achievement system across the system.
What?
We've talked about this before, though. I mean,
yeah, we have.
News. We've known
I
this for
don't
a long
we
time.
We have, but people were kind of holding out hope that something was going to come.
This is also a fact. It's a bad decision. Like, they should have put it...
Fact! Okay, fact.
Wait.
Oh, no. I'm just joking.
Wait,
these are...
Wait.
John, fact.
Yeah.
John, facts. But it is.
John, facts, man.
But he's right.
I don't know. I don't know. Because, well...
Take it or leave it.
I think,
if you don't care, fine.
But, well, no, that's not necessarily true, because developers have to implement it and everything like that.
How hard is it to implement?
I don't know.
Is it taking
I'm
away precious
developer.
Resources from their other shit?
It
just
may
make
be.
Shitty achievements. Developers do it all the time.
If you have an Xbox version, you gotta do it anyway.
I feel like, God, I'm going to sound like a Sony rep when I say this.
Oh, boy.
But I think achievements are a little last gen. And I think most people...
What?
Most
you know,
people
you're going to sound like a Nintendo fanboy.
Yeah,
well, no, he sounds like when they
wait,
were like
wait,
trying
wait.
To excuse not having Rumble. Rumble is
exactly.
Last gen.
Yes.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Oh,
but
okay.
most, I don't think most people don't really care about achievements
that's
anymore.
Not, I don't believe that.
And I think maybe time will tell on whether or not the social interaction and all the stuff that they're doing with like when you die, the messages popping up.
Right.
Pop up and like sharing your videos of your
plays
and all
that's
great. I think that's kind of be the new like
that's fine.
But why can't you have that too?
But why exactly? Like you have to make an argument that what is the downside of having achievements? Like I would agree with you that
I don't really care about achievements either.
Because they're lazy.
But
they're not lazy. They don't have to be lazy. Right. Like, I mean, yeah.
Having them doesn't hurt anybody.
It almost borders on stubborn pigheadedness to me to not have it.
I mean, and Nintendo has said some stuff, which I'm guessing is the reason about how they don't want people, they want people to play their games not in these weird arbitrary ways. But then they go and they make Metroid Prime 3 had some kind of like pseudo achievements, right?
And you know,
they keep making
games with
pseudo achievements.
Zelda Street Pass,
Super Mario Wii U probably also
has. Well, it has this whole challenge mode thing, and all that kind of is achievements. It's just in a separate like.
But
mode.
I mean, you can put it in there if you want. Like, I don't see.
Right, see, that's the thing. I'm one of those people. I don't really care about achievements. But if it's not that hard to do, and I really don't think it is,
yes.
Why not?
And also, all this cool new added social functionality.
Exactly.
How cool is it to not, you know, to see your friend, holy shit, you platinum Dark Souls? Like, you are fucking
totally.
Crazy. That's...
I think there are probably better ways to do that than having, like, a platinum trophy or, like, 1,000 games.
I've said
like,
this.
Like pulling up a screen and drawing, I finished Dark Souls.
No.
Yay, like showing a picture of my
like
character.
Like showing a video or a screenshot.
No, that's true, too. But why can't you fucking have both? Like, there's no reason why you can't have both.
Why can't we have both, JJ?
Yes.
Because
you get an achievement, it shows a video of you getting the fucking achievement, JJ.
That would be awesome.
Yes.
That would actually
you can't
cool.
argue with that. Starstruck. Silence. You can't say anything.
I just don't think, I think, like, like you'll be fine without it. Get over it.
Is it going to ruin the experience, JJ?
Nintendo knows
doubt
better.
It might.
Uncle Iwata knows better.
I when still
he beats
say
me, I've been bad. It's for
like
a reason.
A total mountain out of a molehill.
I still say
anyway.
Nintendo. This would only take one guy. Nintendo has what, thousands of employees? Hire one guy whose job it is to go back through all the classic Virtual Console games and add achievements.
That guy's name is Stumpkapow.
You quadruple.
He's done
you like there's what
You'd
is the
make
word
his
for
salary
like, times
for like
50.
A thousand.
You sell
years.
50 times more Virtual Console games.
See, the only thing that's
50
that's probably
more.
The only instance where I feel like achievements are a worthwhile experience because these are games
given
that are
new
super old.
Life.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But
so
they
speaking
do it.
Of Virtual Console games, so that
that's
was something that came out. So at launch, at least anyway, the Wii Virtual Console. On Wii U will not play on the gamepad screen, the controller screen. However,
that is so
they
sad.
Are working on a Wii U Virtual Console that will play on the gamepad. It is unclear whether or not if you have bought a game on the original Virtual Console, if that will somehow carry over onto the Wii U Virtual Console.
I'm going to bet no.
Really?
I want it to be yes, obviously, but I'm going to bet no.
I'm going to...
Like- So it seems like because of the fact that the Wii is on its own channel already.
Yes.
It just strikes me as unlikely that they're going to like go onto your account history and like, oh, he bought this. Okay, he has it now on Wii U too.
So it makes sense that the Wii would not work on Wii U because as I understand it, that's like hardcore emulating a Wii. It's not even going to see the buttons and stuff on the controller. It's looking for Wii stuff from the start. When you load up the Wii game, they're not doing any work. It's just the Wii version of the system.
Right.
What I'm hoping is there is obviously some way to say tied
but then
to your
just
account.
Make the gamepad emulate a Wii pad though, right?
Yeah, but making just the gamepad emulate a whole Wii, like can it do that? Maybe that's kind of what they're working on. Mm. Anyway, there is some way in your account to say Mark McDonald has bought this game before.
Oh, right. There is, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to let him download this game again, like, you know, the... But does this become like an iOS Universal thing where you pay more for a version if it's for both things? If they're
it's
selling
like the
them
PSP
separately?
Download debacle on Vita.
It sounds like that. I mean,
remember Vita?
What I have in my head is like you got these games, but we kind of didn't like, you know, figure out the rights for them. So if you pay 100 yen, you can get them on your Wii U.
Which is basically the passport system for the Vita.
I think that's probably what's going to happen.
It doesn't strike me as a Nintendo-like thing to do, but
it doesn't strike me like Nintendo to make you buy the games again though, just to play them on the gamepad. Like
that's true.
It's also confusing to the consumer because with the retail games, a lot of times you buy the game and you can play it either on your gamepad or the screen, right? So, but with these virtual console games, it's like, oh, is this the gamepad version or is this the TV version? It's like,
well, obviously you won't be able to buy the Wii versions anymore. I think it's just
Have you seen the interface for all the Wii, how you play your Wii games and stuff?
No, sir.
Basically,
your Wii turns into a Wii.
Yeah, there is a channel and your system turns into a Wii.
Can you
so that's
access,
what I was talking about.
Can you still access the store from there?
I think it's just the Wii store.
That's what I mean. Yeah, but if you can, then you could at least continue to increase your Wii virtual console library.
Right. I wouldn't think they would stop people from buying that stuff, because otherwise all
it's
of the
It's definitely
going
to be interesting to see how they... This is like an issue they have to address one way or the other. It'll be interesting to see
so
how
all this online stuff is going to be patched day one, I guess, into the system once you buy it. That's one thing. There's an outline of the Wii to Wii U data transfer process in the instruction booklet, some people noticed.
It's probably like the 3DS one, I'm assuming.
It's like that, yeah. You insert the SD card in the Wii U, you initiate the process and using an application. You have to download something on the Wii Shop channel to do the same thing. Moves over to the card, which goes back into the Wii U, at which point the Wii data moves, blah, 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 blah. Anyway.
Basically, Wii's else? Having sex.
There you go. Via SD card slots.
Oh, yeah.
What else? Nintendo's been talking about how they see smartphones as like an ally recently, which is kind of interesting. I mean, you're going to be able to do Nintendo Network stuff on smartphones soon. So
that is true.
Download sales off of Wii U for a second here. Animal Crossing sold 600K in Japan. Retail 200K digitally,
which is pretty
impressive.
Really impressive.
They were selling out of the game and selling out of the download cards that you could buy at stores for the game. Like, yeah, it was doing great here. Like we said before, hardware sales doubled from about 80,000 to about 170,000.
Apparently,
one week
it outsold the Vita 47-1.
Vita was about 5K. Yeah. Vita's holding steady at less than 5K. Like Vita. By the way, Vita is fucked.
Yeah. Anyone else wondering? Like when Vita just seems almost dead to me at this point. It's like they just blew it. They blew it.
People, you know, were mocking the ambassador program, mocking the step Nintendo took so quickly.
Yeah.
They need something so bad. They needed it before this Christmas. They needed it before Black Friday. They're not doing it. Call of Duty game comes out. It's supposed to be a big deal. Getting horrible reviews. Just looks like a total piece of shit. Nobody seems to be at the wheel at Sony as far as Vita. Yep. It just seems to be so a non-starter. I mean, looking through the news too, of course, Wii U or a roundup, it's going to be like super... Wii U heavy, given that it's a new console launch.
In Japan,
but good God, there's nothing going on. Even the PS3, like, what is the PS3 story? They banked on Assassin's Creed, and
I'm guessing it's the Smash Brothers ripoff.
And then now it's that, and that's like, it's a blip on the radar, but just a blip.
Yeah.
Anyway, just to get back off the rant. I like that there's like a yeah button, like yeah, it's their ENA
yeah.
their like button.
Right. Oh, really?
That's
really
cool. That's on the Miiverse. It's an empathy network, and basically they're letting people be anonymous, but they're saying maybe people will police themselves if they're like fighting together against stuff. I think Nintendo is in a shock. is in store for a rude awakening, a giant penis of rude awakening.
Yeah, I can't
form of America.
I can't wait to, like, you know, die in the same place in Mario 15 times and then all of a sudden see, like, you know, middle fingers and erect penises. Yeah.
The Miiverse is going to be a very different place between Japan and America.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell you that for sure.
There's going to be, like, meme faces everywhere.
I wonder, have they said if you're going to be able to, like, interact with people from other countries?
Yes.
You are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, you can come
in
to
fact,
my...
They're saying
Wara Plaza.
They're saying that's a feature because you can draw a message. If you can't understand the language, you can draw something, and that's like more universal. Blah blah blah. Anyway,
poor Japan. At some point, they're going to cut off America from like accessing Japanese machines.
Somebody at Nintendo marketing, vice president of sales and marketing, Scott Moffitt. I think this is kind of a joke. Is saying 3DS is the number one priority this holiday. Yeah, probably not.
No, I think you mean 3DS.
They are going to sell the most.
The number one.
Wait, is that Scott Moffitt imitation? Anyway, yeah, he's saying that's our number one priority this holiday. It's those two systems. We're seeing a growing momentum and it's selling like crazy and blah 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 blah, blah. Anyway,
he doesn't read as fast as you do.
There's a Zelda thing where a guy rejiggered it so that he's playing with his daughter to say that Link is a girl.
I guess
yeah, I think that's kind of cool.
Nice. ROM hacking is illegal.
There's a 3DS
I'm in jail.
There's a 3DS hack that Mr. One JJ Epperson is apparently using.
Yes, I am.
That's
using.
Not illegal.
No,
but you can use Twitter.
It's just
app
a web app.
Your,
that's not a hack, right?
3DS.
That's
not a hack. Oh, okay. It's just a web app. Yeah. Okay. Where you can? How does it work?
Basically, you go to the website, you know, you play your game, you take a screenshot. Internet browser is on like a system level, so you don't have to close out your game to get to it. So you just, you know, hit
the button. Oh, that was actually something we didn't mention about Animal Crossing, is you can take a screenshot anywhere in the game, which is really cool.
So, and then you go to your web browser, and like, I have the page bookmarked now, but you go there, and then like, you can select a file from your photo reel like you would on an iPhone.
Yeah.
And then it just, you know, type out your tweet, and then it tweets.
Cool. How is the browser on this? I've never used it.
We got to move on. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. It's sad that this has to come from somewhere else.
But still, like, having it is great.
Yeah.
Especially for Animal Crossing. It should have been...
No, totally. I wanted a way to put my Animal Crossing pictures up, because I've got, like, 50 of them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but, like, that fucking should be part of the game.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, totally.
You are totally right on that.
PlayStation Absolutely. Plus, speaking of which, hey, it's coming to Vita November 19th.
You get to play all the Vita games for free.
They're giving away like the one game that's worth buying, Gravity Rush, which is like,
hey, cool. you get six games for Vita: Uncharted, Golden Abyss, Jet Set Radio, Wipeout 2048, Gravity Rush. There you go. Tales from Space, Mutant Blobs Attack, which I heard a lot of good
stuff
about.
These are all really good games.
And PSP's Final Fantasy Tactics: The War of Lions. Those are great games. Like, no, all respect.
And it's awesome that if you already have Vita, I mean, what is this?
PlayStation Plus.
PlayStation Plus for PS3, you don't have to pay extra to get it for Vita.
Yeah, that is.
That's really
all respect, very awesome.
They're giving away a lot, and that's really generous and great. But
I barely made a blip
for Sony.
Yeah,
well, I worry. You know, true. They're giving away all this awesome stuff, but they're not making money.
Hey, like, speaking of shit to worry about in Sony land, Last Guardian. Hey.
Yeah, is there news on that?
Is that a game?
What about that?
Is there news? So,
Joe Video. They interviewed the Yoshida. And they asked him about, you know, we really like Last Guardian in France. We're looking forward to it. Can you say that it will arrive next year on PS3? Which is a great way to phrase the question.
Right.
Hats off to those guys. As much shit as they leaked every fucking month when I used to work in the media, hats off to them. And he says, no, sorry, I cannot say that. Because the last time we talked about a date for The Last Guardian, we finally disappointed many people. But I can tell you that the team – this is all translated from French, by the way, so take it with a grain of salt. I can tell you that the team is working hard on the project, including the engine.
Uh-oh.
That's not reassuring at all.
It isn't precisely because the team's working on the technical aspect of the game that we have nothing concrete to show you today. So I'm waiting for the right time to introduce you to The Last Guardian and speak with confidence of a release date.
We will say
fucked up on Facebook.
Ueda did change his cover photo recently to a picture of the game, which is like,
what,
kind of surprising that he would even have any sort of interaction with the game at all. Yes. That even acknowledges existence, you know. So
dude,
he hasn't tweeted in like forever.
I want to read a giant book about the story of making that game. Maybe one of these Joe France,
the unmaking
Joe Video will come over and write it, because that thing is, I mean, this has got to be like a mini series. It's got to be a five-part
it's
NBC
like
mini series.
It's basically Japan's Duke Nukem Forever, right? I mean, at this point.
Becoming that way.
Yeah.
As disgusting as it is to even say those two games in the same sentence. Matsuno left level 5. Not
old
too much
news
to say about that.
It's eye cancer.
Dragon Quest VII coming to 3DS.
Yep.
I am excited.
We talked about that last time, but this time it's going to have
Street Passing.
Which is pretty much just like the Dragon Quest IX Street Pass.
Dragon Quest IX
was incredibly popular in Japan.
It was the birth of Street Pass, basically, in Japan. That is why I think your 3DS has Street Pass.
And the game still looks like a DS game.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look very good at all.
I don't understand Square how they can pump so much money in the graphics for the Final Fantasy series. But when it comes to Dragon Quest, the best-selling fucking game in Japan, everything that is not a human is a square.
And that game, of all the Dragon Quest games ever, that game has the worst character designs. Like, the main character looks like a schlep. Like, the next dude looks like Jay Leno. Like, they just a bunch of, like,
He really does.
You know, I wonder, though.
It is the worst.
You talk about Square, I bet they're farming that thing out, don't you think?
Well, they are, but they're farming it out to the, like, guys who have done all the great remakes.
Oh, wait, who?
Arte Piazza, they're called.
Oh, okay.
It looks like a Nintendo 60. Like, everywhere is a flat ground where there are no obstacles in your way. It's like,
it looks
squares.
Like shit.
I'm
squares
still going to buy
day
one. Can't
on
wait.
Squares.
So, the guys Square who Enix. Did the original Dragon Quest 6, there you go. That's why they didn't have Square. Yeah. Dragon Quest 6 and 7, Heartbeat. Not to be confused with Heartbeeps, the awesome 1981 robot movie.
Or Heartbeat by Don Johnson.
That too, yeah. Looking for a heartbeat. Thank you. They're coming back, and they stopped making games due to the rising cost of game development in the early 2000s. So
I don't
guess what, guys?
This at all.
It costs fucking 20 times what it used to cost.
But I don't understand this at all, because the president of that company closed that company and then started Genius Sorority, which made a whole bunch of games for Nintendo and everybody else. And they're still around.
Swords, Pokemon Coliseum.
So what, I guess, I don't know if he just like wanted
He smells that social game money and he wants to tap it.
I think he just wanted to, maybe like the current company got a little stale and he wanted to mix it up.
They say it's going to be approach game development with a different business perspective than what has been done in the past, John.
All right.
Social gaming.
Why he can't do that with his current company, who knows? But yeah, JJ, probably it's to get some of that cashola.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of cashola, Final Fantasy 14, not a lot of cashola going on there.
Not surprising.
Basically,
it's over.
Yeah, the game is gone.
The last version of
Square Enix CEO Yoichi Wada is going to be like a boss, I think, here? What is this? You're going to fight him in the relaunched Final Fantasy XIV. What were you saying about how Final Fantasy XIV ended when they shut it down? It sounded interesting.
I was just going from what was on Hachimo, which is a site that it's sort of a gaming site in Japan, and what happened was they unleashed high-level monsters into all of the cities. So
where monsters wouldn't,
you'd never be able to fight in those places. But right. They unleashed monsters everywhere. They forced they didn't force the players, but they encouraged all the players to go to this one area to fight in one massive battle until a certain
at one frame a second, probably.
Probably quite slow. And then I believe it was 5 p.m. on this past Sunday, the servers just all shut down, and then they sent everyone, they posted online a video showing the end of the world.
That's pretty awesome.
And the video apparently was really high quality.
The video was amazing.
Wait, like, and you can see this video if you can see this video.
Search for it. It's on YouTube.
But is it that the players all lose, or is it the players all win? Like the world lose. That's awesome.
The world ends.
I love
and it.
It
ties into the story of the Final Fantasy 14. Yes.
The thing about like this video, like I'm watching this video, I am like not a Final Fantasy fan anymore, and I'm watching this and I'm like, why isn't Final Fantasy like this?
Right.
Where is this game? I gotta say,
Final Fantasy 14, when it comes back, I will be there day one.
Me too.
Thanks to my experience with Dragon Quest X, which I'm really enjoying. I really want, because this is just another, basically, Square.
Right.
I mean, I know they fucked up the first time, but like Square knows MMOs, I think, as far as like the 11 and 10 are going so far. And like, this is basically like their next thing, and it's beautiful.
I have faith in you.
So good.
I do too.
And they've said that it's going to come out at least, well, I mean, at the time, and anyway, too, for PS3, right? I mean, there was a PS3 version planned.
PS3
and
it looks they've shown screens of the PS3 version. Yeah, it looks really good.
It's gonna happen
day one, man.
So there's an old Square exec bad mouthing the Square Enix, and you know, if you look at stock prices and stuff, he's got a point. Former Square Enix president Hisashi Suzuki said, well, I don't think he was former Square Enix president. This is from Polygon.com. Yeah, exactly. Squaresoft. He got dumped. Well, down to director when
Sakaguchi
became Square Enix.
Ruined the company. Right.
Well, okay, so yeah, so he was, let's remember, this is the guy who was in charge at the time of The Bouncer, at the time of Final Fantasy The Spirits Within.
Ugh.
Also the guy in charge at the time of Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy X.
Okay.
anyway,
well, I think this guy's problem was he trusted Sakaguchi to the end, and Sakaguchi kind of went off the cliff at the
end.
Well,
and that was probably
in
the works.
I love Sakaguchi. I'm not even like dishing them, but that's just history.
That was probably in the works.
That's a fact.
Hey, it was probably in the works before his time, too.
Think about if they would have kept going on that road, we would have seen like super high budget surfing games.
What the fuck
going,
are you talking about?
Because he party wave, man. Party wave.
All right. So he's basically saying that if you look at the the price of publicly traded stock at the time of the merger and now, it's not back to what that level was at the time of the merger.
Right.
He's got a point. He basically, maybe he listened to our podcast, our Super Nintendo podcast, talking about like what happened. What happened to Square?
I bet that's exactly what happened.
They make the trailers for the end of Final Fantasy 14. Apparently,
I am sad for Square, but I mean, I'm hopeful still that they'll turn. Final Fantasy 14 is like the one like
we got to move
point left of Square that looks like old Square to me. And I
the final punchline is he's currently a director at Sega.
You're kidding, really? Really? I didn't know he was still in the game industry.
In Karma News, Silicon Knights order to destroy all unsold materials using Unreal Engine 3.
So, aren't you, like, partially responsible? So if you, like, date back to the beginnings of Silicon Knights this fall, isn't it, like, partly because of you yours?
Well,
I think you started that snowball.
I want to start a new segment of Karma News. And, okay. JJ, when I say Karma News, you say... She's a bitch. Okay, every time. So that's what we're gonna do. Yeah, from now on. Probably mostly just about Silicon Knights every other week. So this time they lost. We reported before they lost $4.5 million, as well as Epic's legal costs. Now they have to. Oh man, this is just like comical. This is like if a 10-year-old who really hated somebody had to decide like what they had to do for a court decision. You have to destroy all unsold materials featuring any aspect of Unreal Engine 3. This includes unsold copies of X-Men Destiny and 2Human. So keep hold of that 2Human. It's going to be worth a lot.
Yeah.
They basically have to pay to get it all back and then also pay to destroy it. It also includes unfinished projects, supposedly in development one time or another, listed as the Box/Ritualist, spelled Y-S-T, which is the survival horror game supposedly canceled by Sega back in 2008. That's the game where we saw Dennis Dyack's signature when we checked in at Sega. And we're like, Quarterman, Silicon Knights making a game for... we might even guessed horror game, I don't know, for Sega, and turned out to be true, which is crazy. Siren in the Maelstrom, a game rumored to be current development, and The Sandman, who knows.
I wonder if that was licensed at all.
I would hope not. Not that license anyway. So there was also a Kotaku story, I don't know if we talked about X-Men and Activision and the Game of Chicken, where Activision just absolutely fucking smacked the shit out of Silicon Knights. That I would encourage people to read. That's very interesting. I don't see Silicon Knights being around much longer. The interesting part is this has to happen by December 10th, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah, it's soon.
Yeah, no later than December 21st, 2012. And then again, they have to be notifying the court on these dates. Again, February 21st. Concerning the compliance. So there's not a whole lot of time to mess around here.
On one hand, it's like absolutely sad news, but on the other hand, he was like a forum troll who became president.
So basically. That's like, my thing. It's like I don't want to dance on anybody's grave.
Right.
But you know, this is like karma. And not for anything that my little tiny whatever bullshit with him, but for the lawsuit with Epic from all accounts. And I've heard some things about that lawsuit. I'm hoping that's another book, but I've heard some things about how they proved that code from Unreal was used in some of Silicon Knights games. Hilarious shit.
Really?
Like, yes. Hilarious shit.
Like anybody could have figured it out.
Yes. Stuff that's like, you're a juror, you have no idea what video games are and whatever, and somebody says this to you and you're like, holy shit, that is the most obvious. Yeah, anyway.
It's like, it said like, you know, this code is copyrighted of the Bunreal Engine.
Like, Capcom moving away from outsourcing, Mega Man coming back at some point. That was kind of a non-story, but
social game.
Whatever. Yeah. Microsoft announced in Israel, Master Chief says no to girly games. You know, the announcer in that video, you should search for, what's they search for? Israel Master Chief Xbox announced or something. The announcer in that, I don't think knows that the Master Chief's name is Master Chief, because he's like, starring myself. And... stay tuned, Israel. Like has nothing.
See
to
you later, Israel. Israelis.
Yeah, that's right.
See you soon, Israelis.
The whole thing twice. Anyway, Dota 2 coming to Japan. JJ, you're excited.
Really?
Yeah, by who?
Nexon.
Yep. Beyond Good and Evil 2 still in the works. Some people are excited about that. Black Ops 2 shipped with Mass Effect 2.
How does that happen?
Yeah,
what? Wait, what?
Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
Probably a printing error at a manufacturing plant. So PC version.
Oh, you mean literally? Like the disc was the Mass Effect 2? Yes. Oh, that's horrible. Yes.
You can use a serial number to download and install the game from the second disc. if you have the PC version.
That's so weird.
Dead or Alive creators took a lot of inspiration from Naughty Dog, whatever the hell that means. Kickstarter news. LA Gamespace Kickstarter. So we mentioned that we would talk to these guys. A lot of cool people on board for this thing. Brandon Boyer, Bion. Check out the Kickstarter. they're doing stuff that's cool, not just for the people who live in LA, although the people in LA are going to get the coolest part of it.
That's the LA Game Space Kickstarter, right?
That's right. That's okay. The LA Game Space Kickstarter.
Is that the one with the Body Body Ball and or Body Booty?
No, that is different? Super like Game Friends or something with the Johann Sebastian Joust
in there. What's the LA Game Space
Check
Kickstarter
that out. Then. It's like a game space where they're going to fund a bunch of indie creators to come in, do like little 6 month sabbaticals, make games there. They're going to give people a place to come in and play the games, see the games, basically treating them like art. They're doing a lot of other shit
Brandon's
here.
Brandon's not in LA, is he?
I feel like I can't do justice. No, he's in Texas right? Yeah. But you know, a lot of these guys are from all over in the world. Yeah. So,
go you.
Yes, Robin Hunnickel.
Nice. Former Journey.
Let's see, a lot of Derek Yu, other names you would know. Yeah.
Everybody knows Derek Yu.
Yes. Anyway, it's cool. Tales of Games, kickstarting a sequel to Barkley Shut Up and Jam guide,
really?
Which is kind of cool.
Awesome. Yes.
And finally, friend of the show, Peter Molyneux, responding to Backlash Against Curiosity, the game that took the 8-4 offices by storm
for
10 minutes.
And then stopped working as predicted.
Yes. It stopped working in so many crazy ways.
Did you get to the middle of the box yet?
No. See, the best part is that they put a donate button after like crying about not having enough servers and how expensive servers are, and the shit is just broken.
Right.
But after crying about how expensive servers are on the on Twitter, Molyneux, and I'm sure some people did ask like, hey, well, whatever, we'll donate, and they put up a donate button, and he's defending it by saying like, oh, we're only doing it I can't do the Molyneux accent. Do you want to just say we're only doing it because the fans asked for it?
Oh, we're only doing it because the fans asked for it.
There you go.
You heard it here first.
Basically, confirmed the number of users playing is close to 1 million, pushing their servers to the limit. They're not sleeping at all. We're on less than 3 hours of sleep. I mean, I can sympathize that something is like very popular, but hey, didn't you fucking hope that it would
be? Wasn't that what they were aiming for?
I mean, so is every MMO before it launches, but this game totally relies upon this one aspect, and so it's incredibly ridiculously almost comically simple so that this one thing can work,
right?
And then it of course doesn't work.
It didn't. There was a period like a week where the box just wouldn't update. It was just showing me the same box that it always is.
And whatever's in that box better be worth it.
He should just tweet the fucking link to the fetus picture already and just be done with it.
It was fun at the beginning where everybody was putting messages on it, and it was kind of like this communal board.
That's all it was like a was like MS Paint.
Right. It was sandbox.
But then it massively quickly multiplayer MS Paint.
It quickly like deteriorated, and like now
It deteriorated from the start. Like one of the first words, I mean, it was like cock was one of the first words being carved into it. So it wasn't exactly like,
well, I mean, deteriorated in that like people just stopped doing that kind of stuff, and then like people just started trying to peel away the layers, and like the images that you would peel away just got worse and more like...
Well, is there anything past
like a lava lamp?
Was there anything past
eyeball?
That?
Yeah, there was an eyeball right now. Okay. Yeah, it's really weird.
It's totally going to be a fetus. It's totally going to fetus. Fetus town. Speaking of fetus town, that's where we're headed right now. iTunes. We said we were going to read...
Let's pick three
iTunes reviews.
Randomly.
Go. Read them. Go.
All right. First review from Letters Zero.
Got to do it quick.
What's the hook? There is very little... 2 stars. There is very little Japanese focus in these recent episodes.
Brutal.
The usual hosts aren't particularly good speakers or very funny. It feels like they're intentionally trying to be garrulous after this giant bomb merger, but that's a negative trait when the hosts are not educated, experienced, and ultra-informed journalists. I feel like this podcast only gets interesting and focused when they bring on guests, and that should never be the case. What?
Yep.
If Japanese gaming is your hook for being interested in this podcast, look elsewhere. If it isn't, just listen to their companion podcast, Giant Bomb.
Oh, it should never be the case that it's only interesting when we have
guys. I suppose
guys.
I should have said the score afterwards, but he gave us 2 stars. I'm just going to scroll and pick one. Next.
I thought we were only reading 5-star reviews, because otherwise we just sit here in silence.
That's true. Now we've got a 5-star review.
Now I feel bad.
I would like to
Weeping
point out,
inside.
We have like 250 or so reviews, and like 218 of them are 5-star reviews.
Yeah, so fuck you, 2-star. Yeah. Hey, give out the name of whoever gave
Letters
the 2 stars.
Letters Zero? Letters Zero.
Go, my robots. You know what to do. Sick I can't on. Tell you to harass and harangue this person until they drop off. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Next up. Let's see. T TXBZD. What do you think that means? Texas Buzzard.
Sure.
Says one of the best gaming podcasts out there, Japanese or otherwise. Great work. The 8-4 podcast is one of the best gaming podcasts you will find. The hosts are former game journalists and enthusiasts now working in the industry. They bring their experience to the table to discuss the Japanese and American gaming scene that is insightful and entertaining. One foe the few podcasts I go out of my way to listen to. Great job.
There you go.
Thank you, Texas Buzzard.
God bless you.
You know, this is very masturbatory. Texas. What are we doing?
Right. No.
Because, I don't know about this segment.
Yeah. JJ, why don't you read one more as Notch?
Okay.
Not full Notch. Just give us half Notch because that long is going to drive me.
Well, we can just read a short one.
Yeah, just do the short one. Fantastic podcast if it's your thing.
That's it. How many stars?
5 stars.
All right,
All right.
Thank you. You guys are the best.
That's from Young Batty.
Thanks, Young Batty. All right. If you want to do more of that, you can do it on iTunes, or you can just personally, one by one, tell us how awesome or unprofessional and not entertaining we are as we talk about American games. On Twitter, I'm Mark MacD.
I am John TV.
Brendan Beyond.
S-P-R-S-K.
Or go
8-4 Play for the whole company. Also, you guys should go check out the... I haven't even heard of this yet, actually, but Mark, JJ, and Brendan were on the Nintendo World Report Child's Play Telethon last week, which raised more money than it's ever raised before, which is awesome.
Great. You can hear us talk more about Animal Crossing.
Yep. Thanks to all y'all who gave the 8-4 bump.
Yes.
And donated. Respect. It's all for a good cause. Very and thanks cool. to those guys for having us on as well.
Absolutely. Yes,
it was a blast.
Where else also,
can find us?
www.8-4.jp. You can find us on NeoGAF. There's always a thread there. Giant Bomb, our loving home. Encourage those guys to come visit us in Japan because they really should.
Yes, tell Jeff Gerstmann.
Yes,
bring the Gerstmann to us.
We will have the crossover of the century.
Yes.
I kind of think that's it, huh?
Maybe so.
Sure.
Yeah?
It's possible.
Maybe so.
Okay.
Until 2 weeks from now when we will have the
US God.
Wii U. Will we not? No, we will not have the Japanese Wii U yet.
We'll have the US one.
Yes, we will be close to it in Monster
Indeed.
Hunter. Precious, lovely Monster Hunter.
Yeah, the next two episodes are going to be Wii U-tastic for sure.
Yes, so go ahead, listen to those other podcasts. We understand, at launch time, you know, we would do it too. We will be doing it too, but... Maybe. We will come back with our impressions, and definitely after the Japanese launch, we'll do something big. Maybe
Japanese launch day, we should do something like we always do.
Maybe, we should play Monster Hunter though, because there's not going to be too much new different to talk about until after we can play the game.
Different.
We should just record our voices as we play Monster Hunter and then release.
There you go, live.
It'll just be like fuck. I'm gonna die. Do as John usually says.
We can do that on your Justin TV channel. Okay. Anything else we need to talk about? No. Great.
Awesome.
Thanks,
see
everybody.
You in 2 weeks.
Yes. See you in 2 weeks. And tell a friend. And who wants to take us out? Go.
Mao, quick, 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 Mao, Mao, quick, 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 Mao, me, Mao, me, Mao, quick, Mao, quick, Mao.
Wait, what was that?
What song was that?
That was Power Man 5000 as sung by JJ Slater.
I didn't get that at all.
Wait, let's try a different song.
Okay.
Let's see. What about the sax man?
Mount. Quick, quick, mount. Quack. Quick, quick, growl. Mount. Quick, mount. Quick, mount. Quick, 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 mount. Quick, 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 mount.
I sound like I'm angry. I'm like Cartman doing an impersonation of JJ Slater.
JJ Slater, everyone.
I love you guys.
him when he comes out. Roadblock! What's going on in there?
Sure was two